Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Hello, I'm Alison Larkin, writer, comedian, narrator, and host of the Jane Austen podcast. Join me as we embark on a journey through Austen's timeless stories, starting with Pride and Prejudice. The Jane Austen podcast with Alison Larkin is available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Control. Link's Awakening. Fire Emblem Three Houses, Sekiro Shadows Die Twice, Disco Elysium, Pokemon Sword and Shield. These are just some of the games we will not be talking about in the IGN Games of the Year Alternative Awards.
They've had their day.
Yeah. But they've had enough.
Yeah, exactly. They've had all the laudits, the praise. Laudits?
The laudits. It's plaudits. It's plaudits. But I like laudits.
Very close. I question myself.
So. We laud things with plaudits, yeah. And thus they are laudits.
Yeah, they've had their day. Let's talk about... I was going to say the lesser spoken about games like Death Stranding.
Well, you've given your game away, Dale Driver. We're also joined by Jesse Gomez.
Hello, I'm here.
I haven't seen you for ages.
I've been ill, but now I'm wrapped up. I'm wearing my trackies to work. I feel very comfy.
Oh, yeah. You're wearing trackies?
Yeah. Why am I standing up? I'm at sea.
Oh my God.
You know, the thing is, trackies are the most silent trouser. So no one exactly. would have got anything out of that.
More silent than pajama bottoms.
I think pajama bottoms are more rustly.
Certainly more comfy.
Well, it depends on what sort of pajama bottoms you got. I got some lovely Star Wars ones that are very, very
I feel like
comfy.
Trackies can double as pajama
and the
bottoms.
First IGN UK Game of the War Game of the Year Awards goes
best
to
pajamas.
I did say at the start of this, I want to make this very clear. I said IGN's Alternative Game of the Year Awards. It's the IGN UK Podcast Alternative Game Awards. No one else is allowed to take these
Big
for themselves.
Distinction.
If you remember from last year, which hopefully you do, we all convene. We're not going to do the whole cast like we did last year because it took fucking forever.
A lot of effort, to be honest. But someone had to film it.
For games, movies and TV, we collate our ideas and we ditch the cream of the crop.
Yeah.
And we just take some of the rest of the crop and talk about them instead. It's things that we think have been talked about less or mean more personally to us than the wider IGN Game of the Year stuff.
Do you remember some of the ones we did last year? I've completely forgotten it all.
Oh, you know what?
You talked about a pair of ball bags, didn't you?
You did talk about best ball bag.
What was that from?
That would have been Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
It's Assassin's Creed Odyssey. Oh, yeah. You've got a viral
isn't that your
tweet,
pin tweet?
Oh, yeah, well, I mean, that's a big... You always pin your biggest tweet.
There you go.
Except for Joe, didn't pin his biggest tweet because he knows he stole it from me.
I don't know
what
anything.
What a monster. What tweet's that?
Keep talking. I can go through last year's awards if you like
know,
for a taster.
Best ball bag. Was it in best ball bag in games?
Yeah.
Just best ball bag.
just in general.
What were the other ones? So you did a catch up. Did you watch it?
No, I just looked at a Google sheet and it just told me all the answers.
Oh, yeah. Fucking hell, mate.
I'm there for the fart.
Well, then what were the rest of them then?
Here we go. We had things like, so mine were things like actual best detective game of all time, Return of the Obra Dinn.
Okay.
Good choice.
Gav had game that made me realise I am not well, Red Dead Redemption 2, because he kept tying people to train tracks and waiting to see if they'd die. Al had his first platinum award, Paw Patrol on a Roll.
Oh, that's good. I like it. He hasn't got platy since.
That's kind of sad.
Krupa had, and this is quite sad in retrospect, best game at reminding me why I like being single.
Oh.
That kind of thing is what we're going for. You'll also notice if you listen to last year's that I opened in exactly the same way because I couldn't think of a joke better than the one I do.
And I don't think we've ever repeated an award either.
We haven't.
Fresh awards.
We've never repeated a format for end of the year stuff, I don't think.
Yeah.
But this year we are because, it's just easier, isn't it? And I like it. I like getting to talk about some of the stuff.
Yeah,
who wants to start? Who's going to give away the inaugural award?
I can start with something that happened.
Sweet.
early in the year, so maybe we go through the year.
I love it.
I don't know if that's going to work. But my first award is for Oddest Addiction.
Okay.
What? And that's for Tetris 99.
Oh,
right. And yeah. It wasn't the game that was the Oddest Addiction. It was the what can I say? The scenario that I was in when I was addicted to it. So I was actually in Montreal
right.
when this game came out. I was there for the Rainbow Six Siege Invitational.
Mm-hmm. So what's that, February?
It's like Valentine's Day as well, because yeah. I know I've got in trouble lovely. For it for the last couple of years. and the game just, it did just drop out of nowhere, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, there was nothing. Yeah.
And I can love Tetris, like proper love Tetris. Any new Tetris comes out, I'm all over it.
I'm so shy of Tetris.
Do you know how many hours I spent playing Tetris Blast on Facebook with my friends mate. When I was at uni?
Facebook games? I never even touched yes. those.
Mate, oh God, I was addicted to it. But Tetris 99 spoke to me immediately. Competing, yeah. Battle Royale version of Tetris.
Play
yes, please.
Play me.
Yeah. The problem was I was in Montreal and for some reason, I don't know if you guys have this, I struggled to connect my Switch to anything like hotel or public Wi-Fi.
Yeah, because you have to do like yeah. the sign-in thing. Usually yeah. takes like an internet browser. Never works.
And it would, yeah, exactly. The browser power wouldn't work.
Yeah.
But I was so obsessed with playing this game. And because I was in Montreal and the time zone changed, I was waking up at like 5 or 6 in the morning. Mm-hmm. So every morning when I was on that trip, I was there for like 4 days.
Yeah.
I'd wake up, tether my phone through my 4G while I was in Montreal to Tetris and then sit there playing it for 2 hours straight.
I feel that's a lot more steps taken than what other people have done to play Tetris online.
That's why it's an odd addiction. Yeah, I could have just left it and thought, I'll play this when I get home. But no, I was enthused. And I came second once, but I never, ever got first.
Oh.
And do you know why? By the time I finished playing it, everybody else had gotten so good
yeah.
that I was just no competing anymore.
The first time now. I played it, I got absolutely fucked and never played it again. Oh, really? It's just horrible.
So the first few days, it was a pretty good run. I was constantly in the top 10. I'd always get a lot of threes, a lot of fours, but could never get that elusive one.
I don't understand the rules of Tetris. Which
what
makes
what are you talking about?
I don't know. Okay, each of the different colours, do they mean different things or is it just random colours?
Yeah, just random colours.
I've only played Tetris once.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I've never played it properly.
You just work for IGN, mate. You
not everyone, it's not obligation to play
it
Tetris.
Is Tetris. Yes, it is, actually. Yeah, did you not read your contract?
Oh, shit.
It says line piece.
Line piece. Do you remember that old college humour? Is it College Humour or Funny or Die? The thing with the Tetris god?
Yeah, it was College Humour.
I do remember vaguely something like
that's,
that.
Well, that's where piece. I get line piece from. It's the god shouting what Tetris blocks need to come down, and he keeps giving them squiggly. Squiggly. You're a cruel and angry god.
This is another example of how much I love Tetris. Is
a tetromino.
A tetromino, I thought it was.
Tetromino, sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that the largest? On, is that the largest tetri you can get?
No, just any piece.
They're all four.
Tetromino. Oh my bad, sorry.
So me and my wife have, you know when people get a keyring and it's like two pieces of a heart and you can put it together?
Oh, I wonder where this God. Is going.
We have two pieces of two tetrominos and we can connect them together.
Which two?
So I have the L-shaped one.
Yeah.
And she has like the S shape one.
Okay, nice. So they fit perfectly. In. That's very nice.
But what colour are they, Dale?
Mine's blue and I believe hers is green.
And now we know.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. I love it.
There you go.
I genuinely think if we did awards for the best Battle Royale of the year, Tetris would be my pick.
Yeah, that's a good
one. I think it's the most interesting.
See, did Forza announce one yesterday?
What?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
Actually, I haven't seen the trailer. Like, I just
Forza
saw a
Forza Horizon
thumbnail.
Battle Royale.
Seriously?
Everyone's jumping on it now.
That sounds sick.
Someone do theirs and I'll find out the video and just confirm I'm not going mental.
Jesse, do you want to go?
Yes, I shall. My award is It Took 20 Years and This Is What We Got. It's Shenmue 3. It's fairly obvious. So
What's the award?
The award is that it's not that great.
No. But what's the award is it took 20 years
the
and
award,
this is what
the award
we got.
Is the shocking game I played.
What are you just saying? Longest wait for a piece of shit or something?
I mean, it's just a different way of saying it. I didn't want to outright
say it.
It's
got to be an award.
It's an award for that then.
Longest wait for a piece of shit.
Exactly. I didn't want to outright say it's a piece of shit, but it is a piece of shit.
No, like, I don't care. I'll say it.
Before I joined here, like, I used to stream near enough every week. Mm-hmm. And one of my viewers basically begged me to play Shenmue 2 because it's one of his favorite games. So it was my first Shenmue game. I gave it a go, and I guess for the time, I can appreciate what it was doing as like open world, you know, realistic environments you can interact with and mm-hmm. all the other sorts. But I ended up playing it near enough every other day, and it felt like a huge chore. I was waking up to play Shenmue 2, playing through the game, and then, oh shit, I'm playing Shenmue 2, and I, you know, 6 o'clock, the shop closed, and I have to wait the other day to fucking play the game again. It's so annoying, and I just, I don't get the appeal, and that's what's annoying to me.
Why did you carry on playing it?
Because the guy begged me to do it, and I couldn't just like, I was halfway through the game, and I couldn't find an excuse to be like, sorry, I don't want to play the game anymore because it's shit.
What's that guy you're chasing? Landy?
I have no idea. Else?
What's that?
It's just an advert before the Forza video.
This is what's confusing about Shenmue 3. It has a little catch-up movie, but if you just jump straight into the game, I'm almost certain that it gives you objectives that carry over from the previous game. And it's been 20 years since the previous Shenmue. But the one thing that just felt like a big slap in the face was whenever you sprint, you lose health when you play Shenmue 3.
What?
Which is the most like, just... It's a perverted mechanic. I don't like it.
The perverted mechanic is A... Another good award.
Yeah.
Most perverted mechanic. An alternative award is game most made for people who actually want it.
Like, yeah.
The people I know who love Shenmue have gone into it. It's more like, it feels more like game mechanics tourism than it does wanting a game.
Yeah,
like,
for sure. If this was released in 2003, it would have been perfect.
Even if it was...
I mean, for Shenmue fans...
I mean, Shenmue was... Always shite.
Whatever. Yeah,
let's
exactly.
Let's be real.
But that's it. It hits such a specific set of people who really love it. And those people still love that thing. And they go back to it for that feeling. Like, this is why I struggle, like, by all means, call it a piece of shit. I struggle with the idea of calling it that because I know it's so not made for me. Like, in every respect, that game has been made for the people who just want that game.
But they'd
already bought it 4 years ago.
There's things I can appreciate about Shenmue, like the music, for example. Mm. Like, I'm one of those guys who buys video game soundtracks on vinyl.
Obviously.
Okay?
We all do it.
I do.
Ever heard of Laced Records? They're pretty great.
I know. So I bought Shenmue, the soundtrack, and it sounds brilliant, but... When I'm playing it, it's like, I don't get it. And that's what's frustrating. $6 million in 20 years. And it's just, it feels like a PS2 game.
No, mate, wait for Star Citizen.
And that's the annoying thing. I've had a Star Citizen account since like 2013. I still haven't played the game.
One benefit I will say about it is at least it's a Kickstarter game that has come out. It's actually happened. It's finished.
Yeah.
It's delivered.
Yeah. Because I'm still waiting for a game that I paid for many years ago.
I can't even remember
what it's called. I was super into like trying out weird shit when I started on Kickstarter, and I was like, hey, this game is a claymation adventure game in the style of 50s sci-fi movies.
But that sounds like a game that's never been made.
Has been making this game for fucking ever, and he's had my $10 all that time.
$10 wasn't enough. That's why it's taken so long.
I've backed so many games that came out and I never played. Like fucking Sir, You're Being Hunted, which looked quite cool at the time.
That came out, didn't it?
It came out years ago, and I just never played it. And I'm like, why did I back this? I'm an idiot.
With this claymation game, was it called Requiem for Tuesday?
I wish it was.
Is that what state it's at right now?
I mean, it might as well be Requiem for a Tuesday, mate.
I've got this Forza trailer, by the way. Do you want to watch it?
Let's watch it afterwards. I don't think that's the point of these awards. In the headline,
it says a 72-player battle royale.
I'm into it. I want to know what that means.
The Eliminator.
My first award is for game genre I really didn't expect to be fully into this year.
Okay.
And it goes to all Picross games.
Oh, Picross is awesome.
Are those the little puzzle games you usually get on the Switch, and you've got to draw little squares. Is it like Sudoku?
It's like a cousin to Sudoku.
Right, because I'm shite at maths, so I wouldn't have the confidence to play.
It's not a maths game.
There's a tiny bit of addition and subtraction, basically.
But it's... You get presented with grids that each piece on that grid represents a pixel, and the final completed grid gives you a pixel drawing.
Mm.
But you work out how to draw that based on numbers drawn along the top and left of that grid.
Yeah.
And they tell you how many pixels need to be in that row or column.
Right, and then
you just have to work out by process of elimination where those pixels need to go. And then at the end, you get a nice little pixel puzzle or a pixel picture. And... This is something that people... Like, Picross is not a new thing, and no one listening to this will be surprised that it's amazing. But people have been playing this for years, and I just never bothered. And for some reason... Who was it? Andy Hamilton, who used to work at Loading Bar.
Right.
He just went, have you heard of Konami Pixel Puzzle Collection at Rezzed this year? And
classic.
I went, no. And he was like, oh, it's Picross. You know, you like Picross. And I was like, I've never actually played one. He's like, it's free. Yeah. Just take this. And every level has a different bit of Konami music. And every pixel thing is from a different Konami franchise. And you essentially collect different franchises worth of pixel puzzles.
Yeah.
Castlevania, Bomberman, all that stuff. So I started just idly doing it and got fucking obsessed with it. And I cannot stop. I've completed everything in Konami Pixel Puzzle Collection to the point where which is hundreds and hundreds of them. And then I had to move on to another one called Picross Luna 2, which I'm still on because there's about 4,000 puzzles
what,
in it.
What are you playing this on?
Just my phone.
Oh. There's also loads on the Switch as well.
Yeah, so yeah. Nintendo got really big on Picross for a while, particularly on DS. So there's loads to do.
Is that a name of a series or is it the name of a specific
Picross
game or genre?
Picross is a series. Mm. Other games now call themselves Picross stuff or Pixel Puzzle. But right. I think it's technically called Nonograms, but I'm not entirely sure.
That sounds
sure.
way cool. It sounds like a detective novel or something.
But fuck me, I can't stop playing Picross and I love it so much. It's like the ultimate one-handed tube game as well. Like one on there, I'm just looking at puzzles to the point where it feels like I'm 300 years old because every time I start playing it, Anna, my girlfriend, will turn around to me being like, "You on your puzzles again?" Just like, oh, fuck. It's so good.
I like the fact that it ties into, you know, different games and music and stuff. I can imagine you can have some real boring Picross games.
Oh, Picross Luna 2 is a good Picross game. It's a really boring experience getting the things because when you get them, I think it's made by Chinese people and it's translated incredibly badly because it's meant to have a story it's telling you, but the story
that
is
sounds great.
Insanely badly written.
I need that. It's just a fun puzzle game, you know? You don't need all the bells and whistles.
I'll be there for the bad story, though.
But the Konami one in particular was very cool because you'd be like, this is going to be fucking Dracula. I love it. So, yeah, it's very cool. I like
that. That sounds really fun.
All right. Me, I guess.
Go.
Best game I eventually hated a section of because of work.
Now, that is a big one for this office. There's so many games we go, fuck this. I've looked at this same bit for 3 hours straight and
so
I can't
me,
stop.
It was actually my favourite game of the year, which was Resident Evil 2 Remake.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
But Jesse will know this as well. Yeah, yeah. Earlier this year, before we hired Matt and Jesse, we had to do a series of interviews. And one part of that interview was doing a Let's Play of Resident Evil 2.
I remember that.
And we had the rules set aside. Bear in mind, at this point, I'd already finished Resident Evil 2, I think, 3 times at this point. And then I had to, because we wanted the same criteria for everyone, it was the exact same bit of Resident Evil 2, and I was the person that sat with them.
If it's not totally clear, what we're talking about are the job interviews to get jobs at IGN, not interviews with developers
or
anything.
No, not interviews. So, yeah, so the premise was that whoever the interviewee would sit down, they would run like dictate the Let's Play, and I would be there playing along with them, give them something to talk about, basically. So I played the same opening hallway in that police precinct of Resident Evil 2, I think it was about 10 times in a row in about 3 days. Fuck me, was I bored of that. I know every single inch of that thing.
Mate, I had to watch all those interview videos back. I hated watching you at the end of it.
And it's really annoying because I love that game. And every now and again, I think I'm going to go play it again. And then I think I'd have to go through that hallway.
It's basically it's like a really condensed, it's like PT. Yeah. It's like one hallway that you've had to go down a million times.
I was particularly anxious during that moment because I hadn't played Resident Evil 2 yet.
Yeah.
And I was really looking forward to it. And then my first opportunity was for my job interview.
But you actually like Resident Evil, which...
Yeah, which is actually really
tell
useful.
Helps.
And I did listen to a podcast previously you went to like the, what was it, Resident Evil 2 Maze or something.
I went to one of the worst podcast segments we ever did was me in a Resident Evil Live Maze.
Officer Ridley has always been burning my mind for some reason.
Well, that was like a few days before as well, because obviously it was the launch party, I think, around that time.
But that's a good little section of Resident Evil 2.
It was good. It was good fun. And like... At points it was good fun, but just doing the same bit over and over again. And the worst part is I didn't want to give anybody... I wanted to make the video fun for everybody. So I had to really act up on the last few of them. I really go, oh, wonder what's around this corner.
And I should point out that some of the last few of them were people who ultimately got to the next stage. So I'm not...
Yes.
So we're not saying that Dale's by the end of that process. We're very fair and equitable here.
If anything, I'm saying I care too much. That was
you
my
do.
Problem.
You're a great guy.
Take the piss
and
out
that's
me a
the
lot.
Ultimate goal of this awards ceremony is to help us feel we're great.
Yeah, yeah.
Jesse.
All right, this is the Sometimes I Feel Embarrassed to Play Whilst on the Train award.
Oh,
it's
man.
It's a lot of your games.
I know, it usually is, to be honest. This goes to Yu-Gi-Oh! Legacy of Duelist Link Evolution. So
what?
It's
sorry,
Yu-Gi-Oh!
Say that again.
So, Yu-Gi-Oh! Yep. Legacy of Duelist Link Evolution.
Wait, fuck me.
Where's the colons and hyphens in this? Well, you guys
don't need it again. Because Yu-Gi-Oh!'s got three hyphens in it.
Yeah, anyway. It's very long. So I play my Switch on the tube, like near enough every day. It's the perfect thing to, you know, pass the time, which for like an hour long tube.
Except Football Manager on the iPhone.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, yeah.
Come on, mate.
And usually like you see other people playing the Switch games and, you know, I have a little peek just, you know, because I'm a little bit nosy. And, you know, they're playing like, you know, fucking Smash Brothers or something equally as cool as one of those games and more acceptable. But there was this one time.
I just want to point out. I love the idea of you peeking at people's Switches and being like,
what a load
another
of shit.
Smash Brothers player. I'll just return to my Yu-Gi-Oh. Yeah.
But casual and the aggressive.
No, I never say such things. I'm not that kind of duelist, okay? But there was this one time when I was playing Yu-Gi-Oh and this little kid sat next to me, right. And he looked at my Switch, and I heard him because I had my little headphone off.
Did he
on the
call
side.
You a casual?
He didn't say that, but he said, "Wow, that's lame." And then he walked off.
He absolutely.
And I was like, "You fucking shit!"
He destroyed you, mate. And he absolutely annihilated you.
And this thing, like, I've never really felt like embarrassed for what games I play, but it's just that's the one time that's ever happened before. And I play some dumb shit on the tube, like on my Switch and whatever, but I guess Yu-Gi-Oh is not cool with the kids, man. I get it.
I think the problem is that Yu-Gi-Oh is recognizable as a lame thing.
But you're not like, fuck that kid, man. Yu-Gi-Oh's cool, and I've been playing it since I was a kid, so
anyway,
whatever.
That kid's on the tracks now. So
I want to know more about his kid. Can he be my friend?
I don't think we've ever talked about Yu-Gi-Oh duelist fates evolution guys.
Evolution bloke.
Is it just Yu-Gi-Oh card game, or is it something more?
So the thing that I like about Yu-Gi-Oh Legacy of Duelist Link Evolution, which I always have to look at the title for because I can never remember, is that it has a campaign and it follows each of the animes, and I've watched all of them.
Right.
So I get to play through, like, you know, the best duels in all of the animes, and then you get to play online, and then you get to build your deck.
So it's a deck builder card game.
Yeah, with a campaign, and you have multiplayer, and it's good fun, and I love Yu-Gi-Oh.
That's fair.
This little kid just wants to fucking ruin my day. So.
Wow, yeah. Sounds lame.
And now
it sounds lame. I can't believe it, but like, I felt.
Did you even retort?
No, because like his mum's like on the side. Like, I'm not going to say shit like "fuck you, kid," and then I'm going to get arrested.
Why would you say that?
Because
you could have said, "Oh, she's really fun," and
no, because then the kid's going to think I'm fucking weird because I heard him.
I am so bad at confronting kids because I always feel like the one time I've ever properly done it, there were like these kids. It was really hot one day, right. And I didn't have shorts on, so I'd rolled up my jeans.
Is this the order of best confrontation?
I'd rolled up my jeans, but they're like tight jeans, so they only kind of went up like halfway up my calves. So I was walking down the road. I was going to get an ice cream, and these kids like laughed at my exposed heart.
I mean, rightly so.
Obviously, I look stupid.
Yeah.
But instead of having a good retort, all I did was go, "Shut, you cunt!" And they were like 10.
And then they beat you up after it.
No, they looked shocked.
They probably heard worst.
But that's such an overreaction. Like, all they were going is like, "Ha, look at his stupid legs." Which is true, they looked stupid.
And then they thought they were in danger.
Yeah, and they show mental at them. That's so bad. I feel bad about that to this day. And so, I don't have a go at kids anymore.
Fair enough.
I think you did the right thing.
Yes.
Right, my second award is the Jonathan Blow Memorial Award for game most able to make me feel smarter than I will ever be.
Oh, okay, I see.
Jonathan Blow's not dead, by the way, if you think that's an announcement.
But he makes those sort of games.
Yeah,
like
but he's disappeared, so it's basically a memorial.
What was it, The Witness, and what was the one before, the time-traveling one?
Braid.
Braid, that's it.
This goes to Heaven's Vault, which I have talked about at length on this podcast before.
Is that
but we
the language
talked about for ages.
Game?
It's the language game.
Right, yeah.
And it is specifically the language. I know loads of people have heard me talk endlessly about this game, but I really can't impress upon you enough how fucking amazing it is, and it's coming to Switch next year, so like it's worth keeping an eye on.
Yeah.
It's by the people who made 80 Days and the Sorcery games, which are also all amazing and on phones.
Sweet.
And are very cheap now. Inkle, I love them. And the key to this game is that it is an incredibly open choose your own adventure, essentially, with dialogue choices and all the stuff you'd expect.
Right.
By the way, I didn't realize this when I was first talking about it. People are on their like fourth new game plus and are still finding new stuff.
Oh my God. Didn't expect there to be a new game plus. I don't know much about this game other than you're like discovering a dead language
So you're traveling across a weird version of a cosmos that are essentially islands in water that's suspended in space. Like it's a completely different kind of sci-fi. It's amazing. People travel on boats between them. But apparently if you travel on the boats, your soul goes away, so people don't like doing it. That's like the spiritualism of this world.
Right.
I hate it when that happens.
I know, it's bullshit, isn't it? Every time on a boat.
Fucking metropolitan boat.
And you're traveling around, but the coolest thing about this is you're translating a language as you play through the game.
Right.
Which is mostly optional. But the more you translate this language, the more your character understands of the world or puts her own understanding on the world.
Mm. Right.
And the order you find stuff and the order you find out certain words impacts how the world unlocks. So for instance, I got to one place and I'd found the word for tomb or mausoleum.
Okay.
And I got there and saw that on a wall and my game named it the mausoleum.
Oh, cool. Mm.
Other people have got to that same place, but they haven't found the word mausoleum. So she gets there and she's like, guesses yeah. what it is, and it's yeah. a completely different thing. Some right. people get there and they see grass and they know the word for garden, so that their version of it's called the garden. So your cosmos is being named based on your own interactions sure. with that right. game.
So things will be named differently depending on what order you find them in.
Yeah. That's but really cool. like to ludicrous extents, and the way yeah. things tie together is absurd. And all of this is the base game. Mm. But just the alphabet stuff and learning a language down to its grammar that you've never done before.
Yeah.
Just by being confronted with it and guessing and making right guesses and wrong guesses and kind of through process of elimination, working this stuff out.
Yeah.
I've never played anything like that before.
Does it change anything, alter anything except for like signage or anything? Is there like communication?
It can alter the story. Like you can find certain places or not find certain places based on what you can understand and what you can therefore okay, do based cool. on that, how you talk to certain people.
I just want to say this is a made up language.
It's a right? made up language.
Okay, cool. but I just wanted to confirm.
Like I could... months otherwise, later
otherwise different regions
yeah I know
like you're so engrossed in it if you play through the whole game that I could months later look back on it and still translate bits by sight if I wanted to.
That's mad.
Like there are signs for like the first time I realized that a certain symbol was like the next word is an adjective, I was like, fuck, this is incredible. Like yeah. I'm an actual person.
Do you feel like someone could learn that language enough in that game to actually be fluent?
I bet someone already has.
100%.
Do you ever hear it you hear it verbalized?
Right? No. It's all written down because okay. it's a dead language. Dead, like it's a dead people who wrote that language.
Okay. Right, okay. I bet there's a subreddit somewhere where people are like...
Definitely.
That's yeah. all they speak in that language. Yeah.
it's like a fascinating thing. And I just, yeah, I've never played a game that made me feel so smart doing something that is so ultimately useless to me. I can't speak French. I can speak better ancient in Heaven's Vault than I can speak French.
Is that what the language is called? Ancient?
I think it's called ancient, yeah. But they might just be called ancient in my game.
Yeah, that's so cool.
Yeah, it's amazing. I love that game so much.
Sweet.
All right.
Dale, your final award.
Yep. Best actor's performance in a terrible, boring scene.
I know exactly what this is.
Death Stranding, baby.
Oh.
So this is right at the end of the game, so I won't try and spoil it, but okay. I think it's fair game to say who the actor is.
Well, we know who the actor is in the game. We yeah. know who it is.
So, yeah, it's Die Hard Man. What can you remember the name?
Tommy L. Jenkins.
There you go. And I think it more speaks to, it speaks to his acting ability, obviously, but also the motion capture tech and the graphics in this game.
I've heard you say this is, like, incredibly...
It is incredible. Like, his face, like, you forget you're watching a game at the point
it's
of this
the
scene.
Most eerily accurate. I think we've already said this before on the podcast. Like, it's the opposite side of the Uncanny Valley where yes. I was creeped out by how good it was.
When you yeah. say accurate, is it, like the facial detail or just the way
it's
he speaks?
It's how his face moves.
Yeah.
Specifically, it's how it moves. It looks unrealistically good.
It just feels real. You could easily just switch off for a second and forget you're watching and you just feel like you're watching a video.
Because it feels... it fills in the unconscious blanks of human facial expressions, like micro movements of the eye or like an eyelid twitching and stuff, like things that you would never register on another person's face, but look odd in a video game because you've never seen a video game character do that before.
Oh, it's so impressive.
How quickly did you notice it? Did it stick out immediately that this seemed like...
It's a long scene.
It is too long.
I just remember watching it feeling like ultimately impressed by the visual fidelity, but annoyingly like just found it a really like the dialogue's awful
and
the content of the scene is just
the reason
boring.
For that scene existing does not exist so it happens and you're like what the fuck is face looks good.
It also feels like a confrontation that didn't need to happen as well it goes on a very
bizarre
long time.
It's bizarre how much you're at two ends of the spectrum during that scene if you're on our side with it where it's like fuck me, I've never seen anything like this, and oh my god, I wish this would stop. Yeah. Like, it's so weird.
I would love it, like, unfortunately, it's at the end of a 50-hour game, and I imagine a lot of people won't get there.
I'm still, like, slogging through the game.
Like, I would like, more people to see it, just to see how impressive it is. Like, say what you want about that game, it is visually incredible.
It's unbelievable.
Like, isn't one of those things that if, like, you're not really interested in the game, you could just watch it on YouTube and still get the same... Like
you still see how impressive it is.
It would probably be better because you're not actually annoyed by it. It's untethered by boredom.
Mm.
I had a hard time deciding whether I thought he should be. That's fine. I had a hard time deciding whether he should be nominated for best performance.
I know what you mean.
Because I don't think his performance was that good. It was the performance capture.
So is it more so the technology?
His performance is good. I just think he like everyone in that game is held back by just all the naff shit that they have to say.
Yeah.
It's like when you're speaking like that, like, you know, there's only so like much your performance can be, you know, lauded.
Yeah. Lauded. Yeah. That's it. I struggle that genuinely. There's something in that scene that makes me go, that should get a real IGN award. But yeah. I don't know what that award is. Know, right? Like, it doesn't exist.
I just gave it.
Well, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's true. Are
best
you saying this
performance
is,
in a terrible, boring scene?
Is this better than LA Noir?
Yes, it yeah. is.
I love that game. How ridiculous.
Oh,
you know,
yeah,
when
they're
lying,
they're like,
they do
they're doing a mad,
I mean, this is an audio podcast, but they do that little It was so over the top, weren't they?
Genuinely, the fact that I can still go mah, 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 and everyone knows what that is. Yeah. That game works. I like that game.
Oh,
I don't
the
understand
system
why,
was really good.
I don't know why people don't like it.
Then when you were like inspecting a corpse, you'd just your finger would just be pointing at the body and you just drag your finger across.
Especially when it was like a nude body, so it's just like him just pointing really slowly at a boob.
That's
oh,
only
come on, Phelps.
God, terrible.
All right.
Jesse.
Last one. This is the Please Stop Making Me Buy This, I Think I Have a Problem award. I'm not going to tell the name of the game right away, okay. But I just want you guys to guess. It's been on 12 different systems. Mm-hmm. It's almost 15 years old.
Skyrim. Oh, no.
No.
Skyrim.
Yeah, Skyrim 2 has it.
I know what it is, so yeah. I can't say.
Okay.
I mean, you've played it before, Dale.
Okay.
Have you got any guesses?
You got any more?
Particular favorite franchise of yours?
It's had...
Resident Evil 4.
Yeah, Resident Evil 4. So... I remember the first time I played Resident Evil 4. It was back in Spain, and my nan bought me a copy on GameCube, and I was super excited.
I love that you played it in Spain as well. That's like,
oh yeah,
that's
I know.
Like
it's like it's homegrown. I thought, wow, this game's amazing. And then the PS2
so your
version.
Grandma bought you Resident Evil 4.
She's so know, fucking right? sick. It was between Scarface and Resident Evil 4, and I was like, I'm gonna go for Resident Evil 4.
You say your grandma's so fucking sick.
Sick as in like wicked.
Yeah,
right.
That is
it's like
cool.
banging.
No, I know what you meant. It's just a weird expression.
I love it.
I'm trying to keep up with the lingo.
I said something sick earlier in this podcast. That's 2v1.
And then, you know, the PS2 version came out and I was like, oh, extra content. So I picked that version up.
You didn't say extra content.
Extra content. Well, no, like, I remember watching reviews and being like, oh, there's bonus stuff on the PS2 version. So I bought that version. Mm-hmm. And then it came to Wii and I owned a Wii and then it had, you know, the motion controls. Yeah. Like, oh, a new way to play
you
Resident Evil 4.
I quite liked it on the Wii.
I genuinely think
that's
the
best version to play
Resident
Evil 4.
I remember starting it and being, I'm not sure about this, but I quickly got used to it.
I think it makes it feel better because those action controls have aged, whereas the Wii controls just work as they are.
Yeah, like, it feels really, really smooth. And then after that, it then appeared on 360. I was like, oh, like the HD version of Resident Evil 4. And then it went on PC. And then it went on Xbox One and PS4 and now Switch. I've bought all versions of those, of that game.
That's such a worry.
I think I have a problem.
That is strange. I have maybe got two or three of them.
I don't want to think how much money I've spent on Resident Evil 4, which is a game that you can only really play through once and get the kind of same experience.
Well, did you buy it on Switch then?
Yeah.
What was your main motivation? Did you just fancy playing it again?
I think I have this weird thing when it's like, oh, Resident Evil 4. You know, I've played that before. And Resident Evil 4 is the one game which I've finished the most. It's kind of like a game where I can switch my brain off and just play through because it's like a breeze.
Yeah.
But I saw it on Switch and I was like, you know what? Maybe I want to play it when I'm on the tube. Knowing kind of in my head that I don't really want to play Resident Evil 4 on the tube, but I bought it anyway just because like, I already have all the other versions. I don't know why. It's like,
you're like a collector.
I don't want to buy Resident Evil 4,
don't
but
then.
I bought Resident
Evil
4.
Can you play with Wii controls on the Switch version?
No, you can't.
Oh, that would be cool.
It is not a great version of Resident Evil 4.
I know, people don't like the Switch one.
But I don't know how to stop myself, and I'm worried that when PS5 and Xbox One...
They're going to remaster it.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm hoping
for. Stop yourself. When you're thinking about buying it, say to someone else, say to me if you want, should I buy Resident Evil 4 on
this?
And I will point you in the right direction.
And Dale will apply the handcuffs.
I will tell you, do not waste your money on a game you've already finished several times.
But I mean,
unless it has something new, then it's not going to, is it?
That's true, but the newness of Resident
Evil
4
coming in.
I was telling Cardi off for buying Lego the other week when he's talking about saving for a mortgage.
What's wrong with
60 quid on Lego. He's saving for a mortgage. He wants to spend 60 quid on fucking plastic blocks.
I agree with that, to be fair.
Yeah. Someone has taken great offence to that who loves Lego and listens to the podcast.
Yeah, Al Simmons.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's fine. I'm not a Lego guy. I don't get it, but you know, it's fine. Each their own. Just if you're saving money, that's a thing to cut out.
I agree.
Yeah, it's true. You know, I'm young, man, and whenever I see Resident Evil 4, I might want to pick it up.
I'm young, man. You know? If you're old enough to have had every version of Resident Evil 4, you're fucking old.
Yeah.
That's sad.
You've lost your USP.
I mean, when
did
you first play it? When you were like 9 or something?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know how old I would have been.
Yeah. Your gran should not have bought you it.
Honestly, it seemed like a very safe cover. I didn't show her the back of it, though. She just saw the name.
To be fair, actually.
It was just Leon posing with a gun.
Yeah.
He's got a gun in his hand, though.
though.
Yeah, but no, he looks like
I think
cop.
This version of the game was him with the, like, in the forest, like the red background and the black trees.
Yeah. Right, okay.
So I just said, oh, that looks like a cool game. And my nan bought it for me.
Yeah, and the back is him getting hit with a chainsaw.
I know. I didn't show her that part. Yeah.
She didn't get used to the chainsaw controller edition.
No, that looks shit. That.
Oh, I kind of want to try that.
You don't. I bet I've tried it before. It's not fun.
Well, I disagree. Right. I'm kind of breaking our own rules with this one, but it's just something I feel deserves more chat. Game that could end up being my game of the decade, but I'm too much of a coward to say it.
Oh, I.
Outer Wilds. Oh. The more I think about Outer Wilds, the more I think it might be one of the very greatest games I've ever played.
I think it'd be absolutely fine to say it after you've sat with it maybe a little longer.
Well, that's it. Yeah. That's it. It's
there's been a lot of great games over the past decade.
You think it's better than Breath of the Wild? Because you adore it.
I think Breath of the Wild has situated itself in my head as the best game ever made.
All right.
But Outer Wilds does more for games that Breath of the Wild could ever do. Like
Breath of the Wild did a lot.
I didn't, though.
But the weapon
Breath
durability.
Breath of the Wild made something that everyone loves even better. Like, I think Breath of the Wild is the best open world game for exploration and for experimentation.
Yeah.
But it is still an open world game on the tracks laid by other games.
Okay,
right, Outer Wilds, no one's ever made that game before. And it's entirely possible that no one ever will again. But if they do, it created a genre.
Yeah.
And the things it does in like 8 hours are so insane and so weird and so well thought out to the point that it makes me feel a bit sick even thinking about it. Like, I've had this feature in my head for ages and I've interviewed a load of people for it, and it includes Heaven's Vault and Outer Wilds, about games where knowledge is the main reward. Mm-hmm. So I talked to the developers about it. And just hearing them talk about how they came up with this fucking game and all its mechanics and how you can complete it from the first run. Like,
that's insane.
It's terrifying to me, like, the amount of logical work, like, this the fucking Picross game of mechanics in their head.
I just realised I made a huge mistake.
You thinking Outer Worlds?
Yeah. And I know nothing about the Outer Wilds.
Outer Wilds is the game where
it's, the Groundhog
it's like
Bear
a space
game.
Kind of thing.
You are
right?
A little guy with a little wooden spaceship and you have to fly in a solar system made up of a few different planets. They're all doing mad shit.
Right.
And you only have 22 minutes to finish the game.
Yeah.
And then you get pushed back to the start again because the universe ends every time.
Right, okay.
But you put together the story of this solar system, why this is happening, what's happened to an ancient alien race.
As
again, you learn a language.
Resets.
And you build a literal map of knowledge in your ship. And it's just one of the most satisfying things. Like, I can't think of another time when I've just been sitting down playing a game like, fucking hell.
It's on Game Pass, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It's on Game Pass.
I have no excuse not to play it then.
Have you played it enough now where you could finish it in one go?
Oh, I could have done straight after I finished it. I don't think I could now. The few things I'd have to do, because you would still, like, to speedrun it, you'd still have to do a lot in a short time.
So it's not the kind of game that if you know, like, where the final destination is, you can just make a beeline straight.
No, you
to
have
that.
To do one or two things before you get there.
Right.
If you're
going
to do it in one run, but you could feasibly do it.
Okay.
Fuck, it's cool. Amazing. And it even builds in stupid shit that people were finding out after it came out, like, you can break the fabric of reality in the game and it just turns off.
That's
like,
good.
Like, you can break physics and it just comes up with things saying, like, reality destroyed itself, game over.
That's
like,
good.
That's so good. Oh, man, I love that game so much. Play Outer Wilds for God's sake.
I really want to play.
We gave it Best Adventure Game, so technically it shouldn't be on this list, but it's my game of the
year. You're
breaking
the rules.
Yeah. Like Outer Wilds did for game design.
Nice.
That's all our awards.
Yep.
I feel like that was a breeze.
It was, wasn't it? It was fun to talk about some of the weirder shit.
Yeah.
Well.
It's always fun to talk about Yu-Gi-Oh!
I would also,
fellas, you know?
I mean, we're not going to read out feedback for a long time because as we've said before, we've got a bunch of specials over the entire Christmas and New Year period. We'll be back early New Year.
Oh, yeah. This is the first one, isn't it?
This is the
first
one.
We've recorded
many.
Loads.
Wow. Yeah.
I feel like we've been doing them for ages now, but this is the first
this
one
going
out.
This is the first out. One we're releasing. Mm-hmm. But if you do want to send in feedback, I'd love to hear people's alternative awards. Maybe we can read them in the first show back.
Absolutely.
If you have alternative awards for the year 2019, then send them in to IGN_UKfeedback@IGN.com.
What are your favourite Yu-Gi-Oh cards? I want to know.
That's not an award.
What,
it can
what
be.
What games have you been called lame for playing?
Yeah. The funnier the better. Come on, make them funny.
Did you have any other categories that you discarded that you'd love to cover very
I didn't,
quickly?
Actually. I just came up with those three. And then,
I kind of did the same. I was pretty bang on with what I wanted to talk about. Picross has infested my head this year. That's all
Fair
I need.
Yeah. Might give it a go.
You should. It's wicked.
I shall.
All right. Should we go then?
Yeah.
Bye.
All right.
Bye.
Happy awards.
Bye.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.